Good to be together again, second Sunday in Advent. I was telling some folks this morning, can't believe it's almost Christmas. Time flies, right? We have some fun things ahead. So as Mason's been announcing the last few weeks, we have our annual Christmas lights scavenger hunt. And if you've never done this, this is a lot of fun. And it's super fun to go around and see the different lights and displays and the things people have in their homes. And as you likely know, some people have some really elaborate setups and displays, and you can find a number of the things on the scavenger hunt list. And where do you see my neighbor's home? I mean, I've got a neighbor across the street that just has a pretty elaborate setup. And so some people really get into Christmas lights, right? They really get into decorating their home and making it, you know, real elaborate to be festive for Christmas. Whether you're into that or not, my guess is that probably you at least put up maybe a few Christmas lights on a Christmas tree. Yeah. You know, so we like lights. It seems like we like lights, especially at Christmas time. And just as Christmas lights are designed to shine, we come to a passage this morning in our study in the Gospel according to Luke where Jesus provides another parable where he says that a lamp is meant to shine. No surprises there. Lamps are designed to shine, right? They're created to shine. What is this lamp that is, and what is this light that is to shine from this lamp? What's the purpose of this lamp and light when it does shine? And what does this mean for us, not just this Christmas season, but for our daily lives? This morning we're going to see answers to all these questions and more in this parable in just a few short verses here. In Luke 8, verses 16 through 18. So let's take a look at it. Before we do, please join me in prayer. God, we thank you that you've included this short little parable here for a good purpose for our lives, to teach us, to give us understanding, even to transform our lives. So God, I pray that what we see here would really be something that you show us from your word today that would profoundly impact our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus speaking says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." Well, let's look at three points in this parable pertaining to the teaching of Jesus. The first one is the teaching of Jesus is like a lamp designed to shine so people can see and follow him. In verse 16, Jesus begins another parable. And a parable, as we mentioned last week, it's a short story or a little illustration about something that's used to convey something that Jesus wants to teach. And in this parable, Jesus says that no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but puts it up on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. Well, what does Jesus mean in this parable when he talks about the lamp being put up on a lampstand instead of being covered up? When I initially began looking at this passage years ago, I began asking the question, what does this parable mean? What does Jesus mean by the lamp and the light? And at first I thought that the lamp is the faith in Jesus Christ that people who believe in him have. And that we're to share our faith with other people in the world around us. I thought that this is what this meant, and that we are to shine like a lamp and share our faith. We're not to keep it to ourselves, right? In other words, I thought that Jesus was giving this parable primarily to challenge us to do outreach or evangelism. Those words kind of synonymous what I mean by that. And we can make a connection and an application from this passage indeed here to outreach, and we'll come to this. But as I studied this passage more in depth, I came to agree with what scholar Darrell Bock says in his commentary on Luke, that what Jesus is referring to here in this passage by the lamp is actually Jesus' teaching. Now, Jesus' teaching is a term broad enough that it includes the message of the gospel. We'll get to this. But there are indications that we'll see within this passage that make it clear that what Jesus is talking about is his teaching as a whole. And when we remember the context of what is immediately before this passage in the parable of the soils that we saw last week, or often known as the parable of the sower, we remember that the point of that parable was how the word of God impacts people's lives. And we were asking ourselves last week, what kind of soil are we in our hearts, in our lives? And we said last week, are we the good soil that when the word's planted in it, it bears 100-fold, it bears good fruit, even up to 100-fold? We need to understand that the parable here of the lamp follows from this parable. In the context, it's continuing this similar idea of the parable of the soils about the impact of the teaching of Jesus upon our lives. It's to shine. The impact of the teaching of Jesus is to shine, to reveal to us who Jesus is and what his will is for our lives, so that we can see and follow him. So the purpose of a lamp is to shine and to give light so that people can see. It would be ridiculous to light a lamp and then put it under a place where no one can see it, where it doesn't give its light. It doesn't do what it's intended to do. The lamp is not to be covered up or put under a bed, Jesus says, but it's to be put on a lampstand where it can shine and illuminate the whole area as it is intended to do. The lamp's light reveals. Verse 16 says that when the lamp properly shines, its purpose is so that those who enter may see the light. So, since the teaching of Jesus is to shine, what is the teaching of Jesus? What is meant by the teaching of Jesus? Well, the teaching of Jesus, one, includes the truth about who Jesus is. It includes the truth about who he is. So much of his teaching is about himself. It's to reveal who he is to us. Who is God? Who is Jesus? What's he like? What are his qualities? What are his characteristics? The teaching of Jesus includes his commands and his instructions for how we are to live our lives. The teaching of Jesus includes all that he gives as guidance for our lives. The teaching of Jesus includes the kingdom message that Jesus and his followers have been proclaiming that we saw at the beginning of Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. The teaching of Jesus includes the message of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus that brings salvation to people. In other words, the teaching of Jesus includes the gospel, yes. It includes the gospel. But broadly, it's referring to everything about who Jesus is, about his teaching. So here, Jesus' teaching is like a lamp. It's designed to shine. And that light reveals God so that people can come to see the light and love and live for him. Elsewhere in Luke, Jesus is referred to as the light. Before Jesus was born, Zechariah gives a prophecy talking about Jesus. And we see this in Luke chapter 1, verses 76 through 79. I know it's been a few months since we were there, but let's read it. "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So they're talking about John the Baptist. It says then that he's going to point to the one who would be the sunrise from on high to shine, verse 79, upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. In Luke 2, when Jesus is presented as an infant in the temple, Simeon, a righteous and devout man, also prophetically announces who Jesus is and what he will do in verses 30 and 32. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Jesus is referred to as light. That's the point. And the teaching of Jesus is like a lamp that's not to be hidden, but rather is to shine. And that teaching reveals who God is. And it reveals the way to God. It enables people to see him. And therefore, it can bring salvation to people. So it shows us who God is. The second point in this parable pertaining to the teaching of Jesus is that the teaching of Jesus is like a lamp designed to shine, to reveal what is in our hearts and lives, and to transform us. The teaching of Jesus is like a lamp designed to shine, to reveal what is in our hearts and lives, and to transform us. So not only does the teaching of Jesus, as we saw in point one, reveal who God is, what his will is, so we can come and love and live for him, it also reveals things about each and every one of us. It puts a bright spotlight in the depths of the caves of our hearts, in places that might be deep within us, or in places that might be dark. It shows us what is in there in our hearts and in our lives, and it does this for our good. The next verse in the parable, verse 17, tells us that nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. What does this mean? It means that the teaching of Jesus, like a light that shines and reveals, it illuminates, it reveals things to us in our lives, in our hearts. God's truth, the teaching of Jesus, points out to us areas of our lives that we might not even know or realize. Things that can be hidden so deeply within us that we're not even aware of it. The teaching of Jesus also reveals to us areas of our lives, sometimes deep within, sometimes more on the surface, areas of our lives that don't line up with God and his will. Areas, things in our lives that aren't so pleasing to God, things that are sin that we need to be shown so by God's grace we can turn from it. See, the teaching of Jesus corrects us. It disciplines us, and it transforms us. Much is said about this related to the Word of God in general in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and it certainly includes the teaching of Jesus here in this statement. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. What do we do then with what God shows us, particularly when we find deviations in our lives, in our hearts from the will of God? What do we do when we see that there's sin in our lives? Because the teaching of Jesus shows us that. The Word of God shows us that. Well, what we see here is that we are to take it to God. We are to confess our sins to him with repentance and remorse. Why? Because it's all going to be manifest and brought to light. That's what Jesus does with his teaching. He shows us things about ourselves. He exposes the dark areas. But he does that not to shame us. He does that to show us our sin that we might confess it to him and that we might run to the cross, run to Christ with it. It's when we read Scripture, it's when we allow the teaching of Jesus to enter in to our lives in such a way that it's going to lead a right response within us. It's going to, by the grace of God, the teaching of Jesus will show us our sin, and after first revealing God to us as well and showing us our sin, and it draws us. It compels us to Christ and to the cross, where we find grace and forgiveness, and the eventual result is the transformation of our lives. The third point in this parable pertaining to the teaching of Jesus is that the teaching of Jesus is to be heard and received for the blessings and the benefits that it gives. We've seen first that the teaching of Jesus is designed to be a lamp to shine and enable people to see who God is, who he is and what his will is, so that we might come to know him. And then we've seen second that the teaching of Jesus is to shine and reveal things about ourselves. The teaching of Jesus is to shine and expose even the darkness of sin in us so that we might turn to him for the grace and mercy and forgiveness and for the transformation that he can bring into our lives. Those were the first two points. Now, Jesus continues the parable in verse 18, where we hear Jesus essentially say this, listen up. Listen up. He says it with these words, take care how you hear. What I'm saying here is super important, he's saying. You know, don't miss this. You don't want to miss this. Listen up. Take care how you hear. How you hear what? Begs the question, right? How you hear what? How you hear the teaching of Jesus. How do you listen to the teaching of Jesus? It's really the same idea of what he said in the parable that we saw last week in verse 8. In the parable of the sower, the parable of the soils. Remember what he said there? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's a phrase he used in a number of places in the gospel. It's kind of a funny thing. It's like, of course I have ears, but he's saying, do you have ears that are really there to hear? Like, are you really listening? That's what he means. He who has ears to hear, like he's basically saying, listen up. This is important stuff. So he says, take care how you hear, because hearing this rightly will indeed hopefully lead to a right response of receiving it rather than rejecting it. We must listen to the teaching of Jesus. And a central way for us today to do that, really the way to do that today, is by reading the Word of God so that it can shine into our lives, so it can show us Jesus, it can show us ourselves and our sin, and it can transform our lives. Verse 18 continues, for to the one who has, more will be given. What he means here is that there are spiritual blessings that come to us as the light of the teaching of Jesus shines like a lamp into our lives. There are present and eternal spiritual benefits and blessings that come to our lives. More is given. You know, that's the thing. It's like you respond rightly to the teaching of Jesus, and over time there's more and more. And the beautiful thing about Scripture, right, is that you could read something for the 100th, 200th, 300th time, and something fresh will jump out at you and impact you from it. Because God's Word is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's like a light that perpetually shines. So more is given. We start to shine as we receive the blessings and benefits that come to us as we rightly respond to the teaching of Jesus. We start to shine. And as the light shines, we start radiating righteousness and right character. As the light shines, we start radiating righteousness and right character. But the one who does not have, the person who perhaps tries to cover up the teaching of Jesus, putting it in a jar or under a bed, it says, even what he thinks he has shall be taken away. And I like that phrase, even what he thinks he has. It means he thinks he's good with God, but he's not really. You know? Everything's good. Yeah, me and God, we're good. Yeah, we're fine. Yeah, we're like buds. I'm right with God. No, you're not. In this case, that's what person, because they haven't rightly responded to the teaching of Jesus. They've rejected it. They're not radiating righteousness and right character in their lives. They've really functioned by rejecting it. It's been hidden. It's covered up. Even what he thinks he has will be taken away. In other words, he will lack spiritually. He will not have what he really needs that Jesus gives. The teaching of Jesus is like a lamp designed to shine. It is to show us who God is and what his will is so that we might follow him. It is to show us who we are and who we can become by his grace. And it is to show us the way to love and live for him. So we can ask ourselves a few questions. One, do I place the teaching of Jesus up on a lampstand in my life for it to shine? Or do I cover it and hide it? And what that's getting at is really to our response to it, isn't it? Second, do I allow the teaching of Jesus to shine, to reveal to me and to other people through me who God is and how he calls people to live? 3. Do I allow the teaching of Jesus to shine into my life, to convict me, to correct me, and to compel me to Christ for his grace to transform me? So the idea of it is, right, when we rightly respond to the teaching of Jesus and to the Word of God in our lives, and God shows us something that's not quite lining up, that's not right, that's not pleasing to God, that is sinful, rather than hide that, we're compelled to take it to Jesus. We're compelled to confess our sins to him. Father, forgive me. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Thank you. You died and rose again to forgive me of my sins. So you've shone into my life. Your light has shined in such a way that I am aware now this is not right. I give this to you. I ask for your forgiveness. God, change me. As your light shines into me, may it change me. And then 4, do I allow the teaching of Jesus to shine to grant me the spiritual blessings and benefits it gives that we really talked about under number 3? Because there's all kinds of blessings and benefits that come to us as it shines into our lives. Well, like Christmas lights that shine and illuminate a home for all to see, the light of the teaching of Jesus is to shine like a lamp up on a lampstand in and through our lives. Let's pray about it. God, in this short passage, we see some powerful points. And the simplicity of this passage is such that it's actually profound and it's powerful. And as we read this, we're called today to a response. We're called today to a response of saying, Lord Jesus, I want the teaching of Jesus up on a lampstand in my life. I want it to show me who you are. I want it to show me who I am. And I want to receive the spiritual blessings and benefits that come as your light shines into my life. If that's your desire, will you tell the Lord that today? And in responding in that way, as the light of Jesus shines into your life, God, we all say to you, we want to radiate righteousness and right character and ourselves shine to this dark and broken world. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite the worship team.